Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Good to have every one of you. Praise the Lord. Christmas time is getting here, isn't it? It's not far off.
Christmas is here in the church.
Yeah, Christmas is here. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Welcome, welcome. I hope somebody shook your hand or you shook somebody's hand. We want to be friendly. We're supposed to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. We want you to feel good, look good. My goodness gracious. I had a man ask me a question a while ago, said, would it offend you if I told you you're getting better looking every day? Oh, I told him, yes, I'd be so mad. Oh, goodness gracious. What people do to try to make you happy. That's a true Christian brother. See, he's doing what God says. He's lifting me up, making me feel good. Oh, goodness. So Cheryl wants to make you feel good with the information she has about the children. So,
okay. We're doing our 15th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit. As you can see, we have Christmas. Oh, and look at Gracie's podium up there. Doesn't that look nice?
Amen.
Sharon did a fabulous job on that. And the prayer kneeling thing out there, and Ronnie Rhodes' mother, Brenda, came and did the entryway and down the bathroom hallway and the hallway there. I mean, everybody's been slicking us up. We're looking really good. So praise God for all the help.
Amen.
Anybody that wants to come wrap, we need help right now. And we have raised so far $13,266. And the good news is, praise the Lord, I've spent it all. All. And so I need more. And you can see last year we raised $112,700 and we blessed 4,606 children, teen moms, homeless, elderly, and 308 needy families.
Wow.
And so, you know, God's good. And just like what Dave was saying, you know, I'm a daughter of the King. He always says to me every year, and without fail, he says, have you ever been short? And I say, no, Lord. When I start going, God, I need some more money. Send me some more money. He'll say, have you ever been short? And I go, well, no. So money's coming. I'm like, okay, money's coming. And that's what Kim and I prayed last night, that money would come. We've been so blessed, though. Actually, that's not really the true total. Actually, we've raised $18,266. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
That's not the true total. Yeah.
Amen.
Anyway, so God is blessing us in all kinds of ways. I had one lady call that contacted this week, and she wanted to take two of the little babies. So the first two children are done. Everything's done. She's taken all the clothes. So I'm like, okay, because I'd already bought a lot of other things. And then he just, you know, he's moving. There's a lot of new kids. There's several teen moms. And one of them, she was 13. This is a good story. She was 13, got pregnant. She has two children. They sent her to school. She finished high school at 17. She's gone to nursing school now. So praise the Lord, you know.
Amen.
And so they have transition college, transition cottages, where like we've got a 20 and a 21-year-old. Kiara's 21. She's been in the system since she was two. And she's been there all along for these 15 years for us. We've watched her grow. We even went to gave her a gift for her. She became a dental assistant. So when she graduated, we happened to be at the open house. We gave her a gift, and then they're still helping her to get going. And then Jennifer, who's 20, she's been there ever since we've been doing it for 15 years. I don't know when she first came, but you know, she's still trying to transition. She's an artist. And so God's moving over there at Christ Haven. They have every single child. If I gave you the list and showed it to you, and they'd ask, if you asked me about every child, I would tell you horrible stories. Horrible. So horrible, you don't even want to hear them. And so the people we're blessing are, and people say to me sometimes, oh, you give them so much stuff. Well, you know what? I don't think I can give them too much stuff. I just can't. You know, because their lives have been so terrible. They've been so abused, you know, sexually, emotionally. Just, it's just awful. And and like that one boy, I didn't even know this. I think I told this story, but it's like how God shows you things, but after the fact. This one boy came several years back, and he came, we were still doing it over at Christie's restaurant at Little Pete's, and he came, and he was like 14, and he was black, all black. Hair down, way down below his eyebrows, very gothic looking. And I thought his name was David. Well, that year, someone had given me an electric drum set, and I said, Lord, I always ask the Lord when I get extra things, I'll say, who does this need to go to? And he said, David. So David got it. I didn't understand why David got it, but I do now. This past year, they did a video, and they showed different kids that have gone on and graduated, and he graduated and went to mechanic school, and now he's a mechanic. And he's talking on this thing, and he's saying how, you know, when he came there at 14, his mother had died, then his sister died, and then his dad died. Everybody in his whole family died, and he was all that was left, and they had no extended family, and so he came to Christ Haven. He said, when I came there, I wanted to die, you know, which you can imagine that. Everybody in your whole family is gone, and you're 14 years old. And he said, and they helped him through that. And he said, and I got through it and to where I am now. And he said, and when I get married, I'm going to adopt children, just like Christ Haven adopted me. I want to give to someone else. And I thought, wow, here, God knows everything. You know, you can think that, oh, well, I'm giving this drum thing to this little kid and you know, it's no big deal. It was a big deal. It was a big deal for him. But see, I didn't know it was a big deal. I had no clue. So I'm just saying, what you give, we appreciate what you give. It all goes to the children, every single bit of it. On your donation record thingy, put for the kids or Christmas so I'll know who it's for. Because otherwise, it goes in the main fund. But everything we're doing, I've already had Grace contact me. They want to send me the things that they need for the teenagers because that's their big hole and we always fill it for them. And so usually when I finish with Christ Haven, then I go to Grace, and then after that I go to Salvation Army, as well as at the same time I go to Justin Community Closet. So there's a lot of people to help, so would appreciate anything you can do, and God bless everybody.
Amen, amen, and amen. Wow. You think about those children and what they go through, and then we just had a healing school last Saturday, and I remember... I mean, you know, sometimes you get down to having a pity party, you know, if you got a pain or something you can't get rid of, or you broke your toe, or when you got out of bed, when you went to the bathroom, you know, you busted your toe, or what, or something, you know, you think the whole world's against me. You know, really, we can get into a self-pity party real easy. We can just look and see our neighbor driving a nicer car than we got, and we think, now, how come he's got a nicer car than I do? I work harder than he does. We can just have pity parties. But let me tell you, after being at the healing school and seeing what God is doing, seeing God heal that little boy that had 31 pounds of liquid on his body, seeing that little guy become totally normal and running up and down the aisles in the church, I mean, that was an awesome thing to see. But we didn't see the Lord. There was two more, a 13-year-old girl and a 14-year-old boy that a mother brought here to the healing school. And when I saw them coming down the aisle, I thought, Lord, may I never, ever, ever grumble and complain about nothing. Because these two kids, they're 13 and 14. They have never stood up by themselves. They have never walked by themselves. They have never spoken a word by themselves, have never taken a bite of food that's chewable. Everything has to be put in a plug in their stomach for their entire life, and they're totally helpless, paralyzed, can't do nothing. And may I never grumble and complain again, Lord. Is that understandable? I'm in good shape, Franz.
Fantastic.
You too, right? You're not just in good shape. You can still sit in a chair at 86 years of age. You had a great life. And you're still going to have a great life. And thank them. Poor kids, 13 and 14 years old, have never had a life. But I think, Lord, I know who you are. You told me to remit the parents' sins. Lord, we remit the sins of the parents. Now we're going to lay hands on these children. And we're going to ask you to do a miracle that only you can do. Heal these two children. And I believe with all my heart, since he's beginning to send us children like that, I believe he's getting ready to do something. He don't send kids like that out to a church that don't believe that God's a healer.
Amen.
You got to know. I think about A.A. Allen. There used to be thousands come to his meetings. Back when A.A. Allen was doing his thing, I was a Southern Baptist. I didn't even know A.A. Allen existed. Nobody ever told me about A.A. Allen. I was way grown before I learned about A.A. Allen. But to give you an idea, he was down in Georgia or something. Alabama or somewhere, I can't remember where now. And they were bringing people. 4,000 people came to the meeting. He had a week-long meeting. 4,000 came to get healed. 4,000. I've never been in anything like that, other than a Benny Hinn crusade. I have been in a few Benny Hinn crusades that had more than 4,000 people there. But I remember the story, just to give you an idea of what God does. Whenever A.A. Allen was preaching that week, at one of the breaks, there was a lady came up to him and said, well, and come up to the song leader and said, well, I was hoping God would do a miracle on my child. I brought him here, and I've been here every meeting all week long. In the morning and the evenings, I've come and I brought my son, and God has done nothing. So I guess he's not going to hear my prayer and heal my son. So the song leader said, well, what's wrong with your son? She said, he was born with 27 incurable diseases. I thought about this kid when I thought about these kids that they push down here now. Basically the same kind of deal. My son was born with no eyes. He has no ears on his head. He has 27 incurable diseases. He can't walk. His legs are all twisted and they come up in his stomach, and he cannot straighten out a leg. His tongue hangs out from his mouth all the time. He can't eat, kind of like these two children that was here the other day. And so she said, I brought my son hoping God would hear my prayer and heal my boy. And I thought to myself, I never saw a kid like that in a Baptist church in my life. Why do we not take them to a Baptist church? Why do we not take them to most churches? We don't believe. We don't believe the God that we serve will do what he said he will do, ladies and gentlemen. But A.A. Allen believed. He believed. And so anyway, whenever the woman got through telling the story to the song leader, said, now I've stayed all week, and said, tomorrow's the last day, or tonight's the last day, and said, tomorrow I got to go home, and I'm from another state, and I only have $20 left of my name, and my car is out of gas. But I brought my son down here to get him healed, but God hadn't heard my prayer. Well, when she got through telling the story, A.A. a little later stepped up on the platform. He said, okay, we're going to start preaching again. So he said, y'all take your seats and we'll get started. And he said, he's going along there about 20 or 30 minutes preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. When all of a sudden, A.A. Allen stops and he looks over there and he says, the Lord is showing me a vision. I see a building, a white building. I believe it's a hospital. He said, it is a hospital. He said, then there's a maternity ward over there, and there's children being born. There's a little boy being born there, and that little child, the doctor just told the mother he's got 12, 15, 27 incurable diseases. Now, he's standing on the pulpit and giving all this information. It's just coming to him from God. And then all of a sudden, he says, the Lord showed me that woman is here tonight with your child. 4,000 people in that auditorium. Woman, where are you? Bring that child down here. So she gets up. She comes down there, and before this happened, I missed one of the best parts. Before this happened, he said, let's take an offering. And today I want to talk something special about offering. But this day, he said, let's take an offering. And said, don't just give God a normal gift today. Give him a sacrifice when you give. Show God you mean business. So they passed the buckets. And this woman, when the song leader saw the bucket go by, saw that woman reaching her purse and take out her last $20 bill. And she's in another state with a sick boy in a car with another lady that she came down there with, and she has no money to make any payments, no money to buy gas, and she just gave her last $20 bill into that bucket to that meeting. Most people say, woman, you're crazy. But she gave her last. And so after they took the offering, then that's when the Lord gave him that vision. And he told him, said, bring that woman down here. So he brought that woman, said, woman, come down here and bring that child. She stepped out in the aisle and she come running down there with that baby. Remember, he has no eyes. He has no ear. I thought about this child when I saw these kids that were here the other day. This is basically what they look like. I mean, their head's not even the right size. Their brain didn't develop. I mean, they're awful, but they're not anything that God can't correct. Just like that one with A.A. And when that woman came down, he's standing on about a 4-foot-high platform looking over 4,000 people. He says, ma'am, hand me that boy. He reaches down and takes that boy in his arms and holds him up like this. He's a little 4 or 5-year-old boy, little bitty tiny thing. He said, now I'm going to pray. I want everybody to close your eyes because I'm going to pray. And the song leader said, ain't no way I'm going to close my eyes. He said, I've already heard what happened. I've seen that woman give out money. I'm going to watch and pray. I'm going to be scriptural. Where it says, watch and pray. He said, I'm going to see what God's going to do. And he began to pray, holding that little guy up, and said, the first thing happened, his little tongue like a window shade went back in his mouth. That was the first thing happened. He said, the next thing happened, two brand new little ears went, was no ears. And then all of a sudden, two beautiful eyes and eyelashes and eyebrows and everything just like that. And then the little boy, all of a sudden, the legs come loose, come swinging out, and this one comes swinging out, and his hands come swinging out, and he jumps out of A.A. Allen's arms and hits on the platform and runs to the edge of the platform, and there's a woman he ain't never seen or heard or nothing, and he jumps in, out in her arms and says, Mama, I'm telling you. That happened. That's a true story, ladies and gentlemen. This really happened. It happened right here in the United States of America to A.A. Allen whenever he was preaching before he died. But then after that, people started moving all over the place. It didn't stop. Remember, there's 4,000 people there, and every one of them almost needs some kind of healing or deliverance or something. God began to move through those people. He began to touch this one. He knew what was wrong with this one. He began to touch with people begin to scream. Half a dozen people that come there with the red tipped canes that were totally blind begin to scream, I can see, I can see, I can see. And then people said, I could hear, I couldn't hear, but I can hear. I couldn't walk, I had cancer, and it just fell off under my dress on the floor. I mean, in the next hour, everybody in that meeting was healed. And nobody prayed for nobody. God just moved. And then all of a sudden, this song leader began to watch what's happening. And people would begin to come up to this woman, reach in her pocket, hand her a $20 bill or a $50 bill or whatever. And whenever everything finally settled down, the woman had a child that was totally repaired and healed of everything. He was normal, and she had $350 in her pocket. Now, I said all that to tell you one little thing. This is the most awesome time of year that you're ever going to experience, because this year has been a year of Jubilee. We only have one every 50 years. This has been the year of Smita, which we only have one every 7 years. This has been the year of the seven feast of Israel, and today we're starting the last one, Tabernacle. This is the one where that if there's a hundredfold going to be given in the next 8 days, it's going to happen. If you've never been financially blessed in your life, I want you to put God to the test when he said, if that's where God said, try me and give the best offering today. I'm not doing this. The church don't need anything. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here begging. I never do this. Y'all know I don't never beg and plead for money. I don't need any money. I got money. The church is well off. We're better off than we've ever been. You know, we don't need money, but I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed beyond your wildest dreams, because if you've never given a sacrificial gift, like that happened at A.A. Allen's meeting, and the Lord moved through there and healed 4,000 people in an hour and put people back together like that little boy. I've never seen personally a miracle like that, but I know it happened because I read the story, and I've heard the men, that song leader, I've heard him personally tell that story several times in my life. So I know it's true. But has anybody in here ever heard this story before? Okay, yeah, it's okay. Several of you have heard this story before. But let me tell you, the year of Jubilee, we just come through it. And this only happens every 50 years. The year of Smita, we just come through them. And it's the end of it. The year of the seven feasts of Israel, the seven feasts happen every year. But the year of Jubilee just happens once every 50 years. And then the Feast of Tabernacles. And another thing that come along with it was the blood moons. We don't have the blood moons very often, very rarely. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to put God to the test, he says, that's the only place he says you can do this is in your giving. He says, try me. and give your best giving this week. I don't care where you give it, but if you want to be blessed financially, either at this church or some church somewhere where God's moving, you give the best gift financially or whatever. I don't care what you give. You can't outgive God. And I guarantee that I'm going to give myself, since I know what could happen this week and I know what will happen. I'm going to give the best gift from my own personal money that I give all year long. I'm going to give it during the Feast of Tabernacles because I know what can happen. I know this is a year that can return a hundredfold. I don't know about you. I don't need money, but I could use a hundredfold. I could have fun with it, couldn't you, Franz? You see what I mean?
Your baby needs new shoes.
Do what I
mean? Your baby needs new shoes.
Oh. My baby needs new shoes. Which baby?
This.
My baby don't need no new shoes. But Lord, if you bless me with a lot of money, I'll let her buy some new shoes. She don't need them. Now, let me tell you, I really don't know, but I'm going to tell you that whenever God put me in the ministry, the Lord told me clearly, I heard his voice when I asked, Lord, how much do I charge for the media and all the stuff? He says, give it away. Don't charge anybody anything for anything. You give everything away. And he said, I will bless you. Now, let me tell you, he has done that. He has done that. He has blessed me. And I can tell you for sure that my lovely bride, I wouldn't even begin to guess, but I know that she's got a giant cedar closet around there. I mean, a giant one. It's not a little one. It's a big one, and I don't know if you wouldn't mind telling me. Do you have any idea how many shoes is in that closet?
About 100.
Only 100?
I used to have 300.
Oh, you used to have? Wow.
They were really cheap, though. $12.
Hey. So do you think this girl's been blessed?
Yes.
Yes, she's been blessed. I mean, when we stop and look at the poor little children, I really think God wants all of his children to be blessed. I think he loves blessing his children, his obedient children. There's no two ways about it. I mean, he wants you to be blessed. He does not want us to live in poverty. He wants us to know who we are as sons and daughters, and he wants us to have plenty of money. And I like it. I love it when I go somewhere and, that maybe it's out of town at a meeting or some, but all kinds of things. When people have a need, I get lots of requests for money. I really do. But it's a blessing to be able to give. Because they're under the new covenant. There is a covenant that God made with his children. And this one works all the time. It works every day. Luke 6:38. It says, give. And what does it say? And it'd be given. In other words, let me ask you a question, and I would like to see. I'll start out with my own hand. When God says, give, and it should be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, I will never have a need if I trust him and I obey him and walk with him and if I give him a tithe. Now, I can't imagine giving God only a tithe, technically, myself, because when I think about, he required a tithe from bulls and goats. And after he sent his son, I'd hate to think that I only give a tithe after he paid the price for me, wouldn't you? So that's why I give more than a tithe, and I want to give more than a tithe, because I know that he says, give and it'll be given to you. In fact, in this past year, I will tell you that one time something happened, and I was going to help somebody, and they had a real severe need. And I told Cheryl, I said, I'm going to help them. And usually I ask her, I says, what do you think? And she usually tells me, and most of the time we're really right on together. We really are. But in this case, I told her, I said, I feel compelled to give this person this much money. And she said, honey, that's too much. I said, that's what I feel compelled to do. Now, the thing that you've got to learn about me, I may not do everything like you expect, but let me tell you, I'm not led by my flesh. Cheryl knows this very well. I am led by the Spirit of God. And whatever he tells me to do, so I said, honey, I'm going to give him this much. She said, well, that's too much. That's more than enough. She didn't really like it, but she said, you're the boss. You want to give him that much money? You give it to him. I said, well, that's what I feel led to do. She said, okay. So I gave him that much money. Within 3 weeks, God tripled what I gave to the ministry. Tripled it. Is he a good giver?
Yes.
I didn't even need the money, and he tripled it. It'd really be something if I needed it, Franz.
I'm glad you're telling us all this.
I mean, but did, if I told you anything that's not according to the Scripture, did the Lord say, given, it'll be given to you?
Yes.
You know, so, here being, this is Jubilee, and this is Rosh Hashanah. It's debt cancellation year. What would you do? What would you do? I mean, listen, some of you in this room, and I hope nobody in this room meets this criteria, but some of you may. I don't want you to hold up your hand, but some of you may have a credit card debt. You may very well have a credit card debt. And I know that people sometimes in the church, they do things and spend money foolishly, and they get into $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 worth of debt with a credit card. And boy, then it really kills you to try to get caught up. Please don't ever do that. But, you know, if you had a $40,000 credit card debt, and this is Jubilee, year of debt cancellation. What if you gave a sizable offering, between you and God, to somebody or to the Lord, wherever you give it? And let's say that you got a letter in 3 or 4 weeks that said, we don't know what happened, but something has happened, and the federal government has decided to pay off everybody's debt. Debt cancellation year. I mean, how would you feel? You know what? Most of us, if you had a credit card debt, you'd say, I don't believe that. But what if this did happen? And it could, this is debt cancellation year. So it could very well happen. So like I say, if you've never done this before in your life, never put God to the test, you never tried his word, there's never going to be a better year than this year to do it. This would be the year. If I was going to give money, I would give it to God, his kingdom, somehow, and I would believe him for a fantastic return because of Jubilee, Smita, all the things that the blood moons, everything we've had. There's so many things that's happened this year. In fact, if y'all remember, you know, I made a statement way back there this year, sometime when I knew this was Jubilee and all this stuff. I said, you know, I believe this year that God will bless this church beyond my wildest imaginations. I believe he's going to pour out a blessing that I will not be able to contain. And I said, if he does that, I said, then I'm going to bless each one of you beyond your wildest means to believe it. You know, what would you do if I come in next Sunday, next Monday, or next month, or whatever, by the end of the year, it might even go over into the next year. What if the Lord did bless this church with some kind of fantastic gift and I was to say, okay, everybody that goes to church here, I'm going to bless you with $20,000. Could you stand that?
Yeah.
I bet if I told everybody next Sunday I'm going to have a 20, I bet we'd have a full house. I bet you couldn't pack them in the door. See, now you come to church for money, but you won't come to church to hear God's word. I'm telling you, people are moved by money, are they not? They really are. But you know, God can do anything, can he not? So, but whether that happens or not, and I still believe that's going to happen. I have no problem believing it. God is going to bless us because of this year. And especially this week. This is the week of weeks. The Feast of Tabernacles. Wow. It's an awesome week. But the Feast of Israel, the Feast of God for Israel, is an awesome set of feasts.
Amen.
And so who knows what he's going to do. But like I say, if you've never done this, you've never tried this, do it. And don't think I'm trying to get you to give a lot of money to this church. Because you can give the money anywhere, to any church, anybody you want to. Just give it to God.
Yeah.
Make sure if you give it, you give it to a church somewhere that's about the Lord's work.
Amen.
A place where people are getting saved, healed, and delivered.
Amen.
Do that. Don't just give it anywhere. Give it somewhere where God is moving. And then stand back and watch what He does.
Amen.
In the next few weeks, He may bless your socks off.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be something?
Amen.
Wow. Okay. Okay, we're going to get into Matthew. We're going to start with Matthew 17. And we're going to start with 17 and do 17 and 18, if we can get through that. But I wanted to throw that out there about Feast of Tabernacles. And just think. Think about a woman. I mean, just meditate on this. Think about a little woman that brought her two little children, 13 and 14 years of age, here, like that lady brought her son to the A.A. Allen meeting. And God moved on A.A.'s heart and healed that boy completely, totally. How would you like to be in the service if this woman brought these two children? And when we remitted the sins of her and the father, and we reached over and laid hands on that child or those two children and prayed, I expected God to do something.
Yes, amen.
And I still believe He did something.
That's right.
I believe He's working on those kids right now. Could He raise them up and make them instantly completely well?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, He could. I mean, God, I mean, there's nothing hard for God. And I would love it. And I believe, you know, that with A.A. Allen's ministry, and God bringing people there, 4,000 people in a meeting, nearly all of them are sick, and God healed every one of them. It didn't make any difference whether they're blind or deaf or whatever. God healed them all in 1 hour, 1 day. But the greatest miracle I've ever heard is that little boy. But you know, when I'm praying over them out here, right here the other day, I'm thinking, you know, we could have two of those now. We could have two. I wonder what that would do to you. What would that do to you? Mike was standing right beside me up here, wasn't you, Mike? What would you think if we prayed, laid hands on these little children, and all of a sudden they began to move, and their arms began to move, and all of a sudden an arm, that was totally, both of them were completely lifeless. They couldn't do anything. You know what would happen? Some of you would be so on fire. You would go home from here telling everybody you saw about what you saw. And you know what most people would say? Stay away from that girl. That girl, she's lost her mind. She thinks she saw something. She's telling us that she saw a handicapped baby get completely healed. Don't, just be patient with her. I mean, the other day, Kim and Scott prayed for a little girl that had her face tore all to pieces by a pit bulldog. And within 3 weeks, most of the scars were completely gone. And when they went back over there, 17 of those children got saved because of that little kid. And she had the faith, they had the faith to pray for a child that had a face tore by a pit bull and believe it, and guaranteed those people that owned the word of the living God, their God would take the scars off the face of that child.
Amen.
That's faith. That's what's wrong with us. We don't have that kind of faith. Isn't that right, Scott? But we got that kind of faith. We know that God does those things. And we want to see Him do things, and we want to see Him raise up people. We want to see Him take those two little children that at 13 and 14 years, these kids have been laying here like this and have never had anything, never enjoyed nothing, never been able to pick up a fork and take a bite on their own. Never been able to speak a word, nothing. And you think you got problems? Paula, you didn't just hurt as bad as you was hurting. You didn't have no problem, did you?
No,
there wasn't nothing wrong with you compared to that. I mean, here she suffered and had pain and for 20 years and everything, and finally come to the place and we found out the sin and she repented of all that sin, and then we prayed and God healed that girl. And man, but she's totally healed, but she didn't have no problems compared to that those kids, did you? Although you'd been in pain and suffering for 20 years, you still had no problem. But you thought you did. You know what? I think God does those kind of things to let us know once in a while, I'm fed up with y'all's grumbling and complaining. I want you to look at these two children. Look at what they look like. You ain't got no problems, have you? When's the last time you said, thank you, Lord, I can move it. Thank you, Lord, that both of them work. Lord, thank you that I can walk. But you know, the scripture says that. He says, you should praise me for your eyes because I give them to you. You should praise me for your ears because I gave those to you. You should praise me that you can smell. I give you your nose. It all come from me. You need to praise me. And I think that's what we need to get into the mode of praising him, worshiping him, and thanking him. And I believe with all my heart, as we become a church that praises and worships and believes the promises of God, we're going to see more of these kind of people brought to this church. And whenever one of us, not necessarily me, it could be any one of my prayer warriors or maybe any one of you. You know, wouldn't you love to be in a church that they bring a handicapped child like that in the door and you're not even on the prayer team? And you just said, oh, Pastor, can I lay hands on this child while he comes in the door? I said, do you believe? Yes. I said, okay, touch him. Reach over and touch him, say, thank you, Jesus. And the child jump up and just. That should be happening in this church, Miss Jackie. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That should be happening here. We're seeing the Lord do some wonderful things in this place. But I ain't happy. I want to see him raise up two little children like this. I want to see him take people that give money during the Feast of Tabernacles. And in a week or two or three, I'd like some of you to come back and say, Pastor, I gave money either to this church or I gave money to the church I go to in the morning or the night or whatever. I really gave a serious offering. And today the Lord quadrupled it. Or maybe a hundredfold. Maybe he gave me a hundred times what you gave. Just think, if you'd give $1,000 and he'd give you $100, what if you'd give $10,000? What would you do with all that money? What would you do with it? Would you tithe off of it?
Yeah.
I've asked lots of people, you know, if you had a lot of money, what would you do with it? It's amazing the Christians that never say they'd tithe. And I think maybe that's why God don't bless our socks off, because we don't even think like that. But you know, everything we have belongs to him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Everything. Our health, everything belongs to him. So I want you to think about that this week, and I want you to pray about this, what I should do financially if I want to be blessed because of this time of the year and the season this is. Have any of you in here ever heard me beg for money? No, I don't do that. I don't do that. Never have done. Ain't going to do that. You know, I mean, I used to sit and watch TV with my son. Once in a while, we'd be watching a Christian movie. Somebody come on the set, and we're watching only watch Christian stuff. And they say, okay, we need you to send in $50. Said, we can't make it. If you don't send in, we're going to go off the air. My son used to just say, okay, go off the air. He said, Dad, that's the one thing I love about you. You never beg or ask people for nothing. You just let God do what he wants to do. And he said, he obviously takes care of you. He does. He always has. But anyway, whatever you do, if you don't want to miss the best opportunity in your life to be blessed, every way, healing. I mean, just think the woman that made the donation to the A.A. Allen Church, did she get blessed financially? Wow, did she get blessed physically?
Yes.
Her son was healed. I mean, you can't buy what she got. There ain't enough money in the world to buy that miracle. The doctors had give up on that. In fact, the doctor said the kid's going to die any time. I mean, he was awful. I mean, awful. And it's like, almost like, what's that lady's name back here? Betty Baker? Betty Baxter. Betty Baxter. Yeah, if you've never watched Betty Baxter's testimony, I mean, that mother, there was no money at all involved that I know of in that one, but there was faith. Betty Baxter's mother stood in faith and believed God would heal her child. And she believed for 10 years. In fact, the doctor finally come over to the house and was checking Betty, and she passed away while he was there. She was 10 years old. And the doctor said, "Miss Baxter, you can stop praying for your daughter. She just passed away. She's dead." The mother says, "No, God made me a promise, and God cannot lie. So I'm standing on him, on his word, by faith, to heal my daughter." "But ma'am, you don't understand. She's dead." She said, "I don't care. I don't care what you see. All I know is what the word says. The word says I can ask for anything, and he'll do it for me." Is that true?
Yes.
So all of a sudden, little Betty walks into the kingdom of God. Jesus is there, and he says, "Betty, puts his hand up like that right in front of her face and says, "Honey, you can't come in yet. Because of your mother's prayers, you're going to have to go back. You go and I will come in the fall and heal you." I don't understand that. Why didn't he heal her right then? Y'all understanding where I'm coming from? Why didn't God just go back and heal her right then? But he told her, "I'll come in the fall and heal you." So, in the fall, she came back, and all of a sudden the doctor says, "My gosh, she's breathing again. I got a pulse. She's still living. She was dead." So for like 2 or 3 months, she was a vegetable. Mother fed her everything. Then all of a sudden the Lord spoke to her and said, "Betty, because you have been patient, and because you've not grumbled and complained about your circumstances." Boy, that gets most of us, doesn't it? We can grumble and complain about a whole lot less than that, can't we, Mike? Oh, Lord, but because you didn't grumble and complain, because you didn't fuss, because you've been faithful, little girl, I'm going to come next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock to your house, and I'm going to heal you. Why did God do that? Why didn't he just touch her and let her jump up and run around right there? But see, he's God, right? You can't tell the master what to do. So anyway, Miss Baxter come running in the room and says, "Honey, do you know when Jesus is going to heal you?" And she said, "I looked up at Mother and said, I just smiled because up until today, I had no idea. But the Lord had just told me he's coming next Sunday at 3 p.m. to heal me. But the Lord told me, don't tell nobody." So Mother comes running and says, "Betty, do you know when the Lord's going to heal you?" So she said, "I just looked at Mama and smiled." And she says, "Next Sunday at 3 p.m. "Mama, how did you know that?" She said, "The same Jesus that told you told me." So Mama goes downtown, and now this little girl has never had a dress on. I mean, her body is all contorted, her legs are twisted. She's got knots on her head, big as your hand can't even cover them up. Big old knots all over her body, and her legs are twisted, and she can't stand. She's like those children, only she's not quite as bad as these two kids that was here Saturday. But she was in terrible shape. I mean, to the average person, you look at that, you think, that's impossible. But nobody believed but Miss Baxter, the mother. She's the only one that stood in faith. But as she stood in faith for her daughter, she went to town and bought her a pair of shoes that would fit her. She'd never been able to put a pair of shoes on. She went and bought her a little dress. She never had a dress on. 10 years old, never had a dress on. Couldn't put clothes on, just like them two kids right here Saturday. And she went and told everybody at church, "You got to come to my house next Sunday afternoon after church. Jesus is coming to my house to heal my daughter." Now, do you believe anybody believed that? No, nobody. Nobody. Now, some of the family members came just out of, whatever, Miss Baxter's having a breakdown. She thinks Jesus is coming. Now, this little girl's been like this for 10 years. She was born like this. She ain't never, run, play, or nothing. Her legs are all twisted. And you're telling me Jesus is coming to your house next week to heal my daughter? Who do you think I am? You think I'm crazy? No. But nobody came. The pastor wouldn't come. The pastor of the church, pastor of her church, that she's fought this battle all these years, he wouldn't even show her the courtesy of coming to her house. Do we believe? No, we don't believe. We have no idea who this God is that we serve. We don't. We really don't. But anyway, she says a couple of my uncles and so forth were there just out of courtesy for Mom. But nobody believed that I was going to get healed. She said, 3 o'clock came. Mama runs in there and just picks me up out of the bed and carries me in there and sets me down on a big easy chair right in the front room. Backs off and said, okay, Jesus, we're waiting on you, Lord. You said you'd be here at 3 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock. We wait for you, Lord. And all of a sudden, the wind began to blow inside the house. She said, my uncle sitting over there, and the wind blows. He's got a hold of the back of that chair. Said his knuckles turn white. He's seeing something he ain't never seen before. I mean, this bunch of believers, unbelieving believers. It's a shame that we live where we live, and we're supposed to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. It's a shame where we live. I mean, after all, who is your God? Is he the Lord? He is the Lord. What can he do?
Anything.
Yeah, literally anything. And so anyways, he said, Jesus said, a great big white cloud came into the living room, and it stopped right over there against the wall, and out steps the King of the universe. She said, I could see him perfectly. Said he stepped, walks right up to me and looked down at me and says, Betty, because you've been faithful and because you've not grumbled and complained, I've come to heal you. And he put his hand on her head on top of one of those big old knots on her head and just went down her back. And she said, as he went down my back, every knot on my body just was gone, just like that. It was gone. She said, then he said, honey, stand up. So she said, I jumped out of that chair and I stood up, and for the first time in my life at 10 years of age, I am perfectly normal. Now this, we got this testimony. It's back here on, if you've never heard Betty Baxter's testimony, you ought to see it. It's great. She's standing there and she said, then he looks me right in the eye. And then he goes right down my body, all the way down to my toes. Then he comes all the way back up and looks me right now. I said, I guess he's admiring his work. True story. This is a true story. And he said, Betty, because you've been faithful, I've come and completely healed you. You're completely well. He said, you'll live a long, healthy life, and I'll use you and your testimony all over this world. And he said, then one day, I will come and take you home to heaven to be with me in your old age. And so that woman, I don't know if she's still alive today or not, but the last time I saw her, she was a beautiful woman. You would never have known, never, that she had been a little girl so contorted. What can Jesus do? We really need to get that in our hearts. But he healed that little girl, Miss Betty Baxter. And, you know, nobody in that room other than Mrs. Baxter really believed. You know, they didn't believe. I mean, when it was, what's so sad is even the pastor of her church would not even come. I mean, out of courtesy, she should have at least went and, you know, comfort her, right? I mean, you know, even if I was a Baptist preacher and I didn't believe God was going to do anything, if I had a woman that had that kind of faith, I'd at least go to her house and comfort her. Something, I'd do something. Wouldn't you, Mary? I'd do something. But he wouldn't even come, poor guy. Boy, I bet you next Sunday morning, whenever she walked into church, Miss Betty, he said, who is this little girl? I said, well, this is my daughter, Betty. No, 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 no. The one that was crippled? Yeah, this is her. No. No. Yeah. This is her. And then there's people. Now, there's people. There's a lot of people thinking if we get healed, that everybody back at home is going to believe we got a miracle. Come down here to this Living Savior Church, and you touch them, and they get healed, and we go home, everybody's going to see mama or grandma or granddad or whatever is healed, or my child is healed. Everybody in our house is going to believe. It don't work. No, it don't work. When you get back home, they'll say, well, what a coincidence, you know, that the child just happened to get well when Thurman touched him. He's just one of them things, but he's just a man like everybody else. Yeah, he's a man like everybody else, but he got something in him that ain't like somebody else. Amen. What I got in me and what you got in you is the master, and he can do anything. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see him do these awesome things. Aren't you, Franz? Lord, we praise you and thank you and worship you, Lord. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. Now then, in Matthew 17, let's start with about verse 10. Verse 17, 10, let's look at this. And his disciples ask him, saying, why then say ye, Elias must come first. Okay, let's go on down 11 or 12, maybe a couple more verses. I think I'm not where I want to be. Okay, yeah, go down to 13. Okay, still not where I want. Go one more verse or we'll get there. Okay. And when they were come to the multitudes, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore grieved, and oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. Now then, if they brought you and me a child like this, which I've had many of them like this, what do we call this kind of a problem? Yeah, it's epilepsy or epileptic seizures. And let me throw something in about epileptic seizures. Usually, it's boys that have epileptic seizures, and usually the boy has not been faithful to his dad. Usually the boy has not been faithful and true to his father. He doesn't get along with his dad. He doesn't respect his dad. And I've seen many cases where a young man does not respect and honor his dad. And sometimes it don't happen right then. Sometimes they do this when they're 15 and then they don't have these seizures till they're 20 or whatever. But I've seen it numerous times. In fact, I've seen it so many times that, and Cheryl and I both have seen this so many times, that what we will do anytime we have a person that has an epileptic seizure, I don't care how old they are, we will ask them, how do you get along with your dad? And most of them will say, well, I get along with him okay. I said, well, did you ever have a problem between you and your dad? Did your dad ever tell you to do something that you didn't do, or you told him you would do it and later you didn't do it? And every case, there is a situation where that, oh yeah, but that happened years ago, Pastor. I didn't start having these till I was 25. And that was back when I was 17, that when me and Dad got into a situation where I got crossways with Dad, and me and him hadn't spoken a word to each other in 7 or 8 years, 5 years, 4 years, 2 years, whatever, a year. Do you know that's what brought that on you? I never dreamed. So I tell you what. In fact, I had a young man sitting right here, right where Scott's sitting, last year, that him and his whole family came and it was all sitting right here in this section. I didn't know who they were, but I told the story about an epileptic boy. And whenever the story was over, it was time for the 3 o'clock break. And after I told the story about it, the boy come up and he said, Pastor, you just told my story. I said, what do you mean I just told your story? He said, I am that guy that you prayed for that was the director of the camp in Wisconsin. I am that man. And said, you prayed for me. I have not had an epileptic seizure since you prayed for me. And that was exactly the situation. When he was about 14 or 15, he wanted to go to a rock concert with his buddies. So he goes in and asks Dad, said, Dad, I want to go to the rock concert with the boys tonight. And the dad says, absolutely not. You are not allowed to go to a rock concert under no conditions. We will not go to rock concerts. Those places, those things are crazy. Kids do crazy things there, and no, you can't go. And he said, my dad wasn't even a very good Christian, but he told me I couldn't go. So I told him, okay, Dad, I won't go. So he said, when the boys come by to pick me up that night, Dad said, remember, don't you go to that concert. Don't worry, Dad, we're going to a movie. We ain't going to the concert. He said, and I lied big time. We went just as straight to that rock concert as we could. He was about 14, 15, 16 years old, and about 5 or 6 or 7 years later, he started coming down with seizures. Seizures. I mean, he said, here I am now, a director of a church camp in Wisconsin, teaching young people the principles of the kingdom of God, and I'm up there on the platform, and all of a sudden, a seizure grabs me. How intimidating would that be? I'm teaching you about God, and here I am up here having seizures. And God's doing it to you to try to teach you something. And I told him, I said, you got to get right with your dad. Of course, this happened years ago. I told him, I said, you got to get right with your dad. And you got to ask your dad to forgive you and all that stuff. And we did all that stuff. And after we did, I said, now we're going to break the curse. We're going to kick that devil out of you. And I guarantee you, once I pray for you, you're never going to have another seizure. And he got up right here that day. But this is last year, wasn't it, Scott? You remember that boy, don't you? Yeah. And he told us, he said, I have never had another seizure since you broke that curse and prayed for me after I repented to my dad. You think it, when God says, children, respect your parents, you think he meant that?
Yeah.
He really did. He said, respect your parents that it may go well with you and have a long life. So what if you don't? It may be a short life. You may be sick. I mean, it's funny, but it ain't funny. It's so simple, but we don't see it, that we don't believe God will do what he said. But he does, doesn't he? Wow. But this is what happens. When this boy's got these seizures, and he says there, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. And he's sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. Next verse. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. The average, unfortunately, I hate this, that I was a member of a Baptist church, a church that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, supposedly with all our heart. And we never, in the 60 plus years I was a member of the Baptist church, I never saw a healing or a miracle in the Baptist church. Is that sad? It's awful. It's worse than awful. I mean, you would think that any church that has the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior ought to see some answers to prayer, wouldn't you? But we didn't. But he said, and I brought my boy to your disciples, and they could not carry him. Well, that's exactly the way we are. So let's see what the Lord had to say in the next verse, verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said to him, oh, you faithless and perverse bunch. Somebody said, Jesus would never talk to us like that. That's what he said, wasn't it? Then Jesus answered and said, oh, you faithless and you perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? I don't think he was happy. Bring him hither to me. And let's see what happened in the next verse, 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil. Well, first of all, you got to believe there is a devil. And then you got to believe you have power over the devil, right?
Amen.
And if you don't have a scripture, if I ask you to tell me, okay, so we're going to kick out this devil. I think about this young Baptist boy and a friend of his, and the friend was kind of Pentecostal. And they were going to Mexico for some kind of meeting. And so when they got to Mexico, in the area where they were going to have this meeting, this Baptist boy and this Pentecostal boy, they were both went on the same team, but they walked down the streets and they started knocking on doors and had little flyers and said, we're going to have a Christian meeting. We're going to preach about Jesus. Well, would you like to come? Nobody was interested. Nobody. They walked down several blocks and nobody even wanted their flyers or nothing. That little Pentecostal kid, he said, let's just change the way we're doing things. We ain't getting nowhere like this. He said, what do you mean? He said, let's ask them if anybody needs somebody to be prayed for that's sick. He said, the Baptist boy said, what? He said, yeah, Jesus is the healer. In my church, they taught me over in my church that I can pray for the sick and God will heal them. So let's I don't know why we're not doing it here. We're just asking if they want to come to the meeting. They says, no. So let's ask them if anybody's sick. We want to pray for them if they got somebody sick. So the Baptist boy said, well, you'll have to do it. I don't know how to do it. So they come to knock on his door, and he says, we're so-and-so. We're with a Christian group here, and we're going to have a meeting down here, and we're out praying for people that got somebody sick. Do you have anybody in the house that needs to be prayed for that's sick? The man says, my wife has diabetes, and she's having a problem with her leg. Would you come in and pray for her? They said, sure. Or the one boy did. The other one, he's going to wait outside. So the one that was brought up in the church that taught him that he could pray for the sick, he went in and he said, when I saw this woman's leg and what it looked like, I thought, oh my goodness, he's probably going to want me to pray for a new leg. And he said, I don't have that kind of faith. What do you want me to pray for? He said, she has pain in her leg and it's just killing her. She needs, if you could just pray and ask the Lord to take away the pain. He said, I can do that. Isn't it amazing how little faith we have? So he goes in and lays hands on this little leg and he asked the Lord to take away the pain. And the lady screamed and said, the pain left completely. Jumped up, started running around. And he says, we didn't have to go to another house. That man went to every house up and down both streets and said, we had a packed house that night at church. And all we had to do was get one lady healed. Now, isn't that amazing? Now, see, until they'd done something in faith, just like you, Carrie. I get so tickled at you. Thinking about her, Carrie, going down there. I'm sure most of y'all have heard me tell a story about Carrie, but her aunt or your husband's cousin was in hospice, and they're going to go down to Florida and pray over her because she's in hospice and she ain't going to make it. And they get an airplane ticket and go down there, and they walk in, and when Miss Carrie sees this lady, she's like, oh my goodness, she looks awful. And Jesus spoke to Miss Carrie and said, Carrie, don't lose your faith. Jesus prayed for Lazarus. He'd been dead 4 days. This woman's still alive. Is that what he said to you? That's what he said. So she said, okay, Lord, we can pray for her then. And you prayed, and the Lord healed that woman. She's still alive and well today. You know, Miss Carrie, you know what people would say? You know, when you're telling my story, they say, you know, I don't believe that. It just happened to be that she got well when you prayed for her. You know better than that, don't you, girl? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, not seeing miracles. So anyway, wow. So when I think about what we ought to be doing here, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Just like that young man and his family sat right over here this last year, a year and a half ago, whatever it was, over the telephone, I kicked out a devil after I got him to repent to his dad. Now, I had never seen this man, but I don't have to see them. All I got to do is be able to talk to them on the phone. But by talking to this young man on the phone, getting him to repent of his sin, then we break the curse over him because he's repented. That's the biggest secret in all, is getting rid of sin. He got rid of sin, confessed the sin. Then we prayed the prayer of faith, broke the curse, kicked the devils out, just like Jesus did. We commanded that devil to come out of him, and that seizure left him. And that boy has told us right here that I forget how many years ago that was when I did that for him, but he said, I have never had another seizure since that day. Don't you just love serving Jesus? We need to get to the point where we can all do these things. Wow. I think I told you the story about the two guys over at Home Depot here a while back that had the black shirts with a white cross on their back that says, Jesus is Lord. And when I walked up there, I saw them there getting some stuff, and I said, hey, guys. They turned, hey, Thurman Scribner. I said, you know me? He said, yes. I said, what are y'all doing? I said, I see you got your shirts on. Says, you know, talking about Jesus. And he said, you don't remember me? I said, no, sir. He said, I'll never forget you. I said, what did I do? He said, when my son was 5 years old, I ran into you and he was having seizures. And you told me that it was sins of either me or my parents. And he said, I had not been getting along good with my dad. And he said, you told me I needed to walk in love with my dad. I needed to repent of that sin. And then you kicked the devil out of my five-year-old son. And he said, from the day you kicked that devil out of him, he has never had another seizure. And he said, after we went for 2 or 3 or 4 years and didn't have a single seizure, and I realized that my son is absolutely, totally, completely healed. And it happened when you prayed for him. He said, I told my good buddy, I said, you know, let's do something for these older men and women that can't get out and do things for themselves. Me and you are young, so on our days off and our weekends, let's put stuff together and let's go change light bulbs or fix people's fence or backyard fence or gate or fix the plumbing. Just do something to help old people that can't do nothing themselves. And he said, that's what we're doing. And he said, we're doing it because you healed my son. I told him, I didn't heal your son. He said, yeah, you did too. He said, you spoke the word, and Jesus did it. But he said, you spoke the word, and my son got delivered, and he's healed. And he said, I'll be forever grateful to the Lord for what you did. Is that what we all ought to be doing? I just love serving Jesus. Wow. And wow. What does he say is impossible? Let's go down to verse 19. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Is that the biggest problem in the church today? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible with you. Who is our own worst enemy? We are. If we would only obey God and do what he says, there is no telling what he's going to do. But I am looking for this, the remainder, since this is a year of Jubilee and all that other stuff, and next year is, who knows what's going to happen. But in the next year, I am expecting greater things than has ever happened in this church to happen. Why would God bring me a two little children that are so physically handicapped if he doesn't plan to start showing me he's going to start healing those kind of kids? Y'all understand? Would you like to be a part of a church that we could pray and get around and pray and see two little kids like that jump up out of those wheelchairs and start running around? Wouldn't that be awesome? I want to see that. And I want to be able to tell everybody that. I don't care if anybody ever believes it. I want to be able to tell it, don't you? I love telling people about Jesus. I love telling stories that are just like the Lord. I can't think where it is in what scripture in the book of Acts somewhere. He says, in the last days, I'm going to do such great and mighty miracles among you that even though you see it, you won't believe it. So, you ready for those, Mike? Yeah. Ready for those, Tony? I'm ready for them too. But that's what the Lord says. In the last days. I don't remember where that is, but I used it a lot when I got Caitlin healed down at the Cook's Medical Center, because I had so many people that said, it's just a coincidence. That girl, you know, I mean, her brain stem was not disconnected. It's impossible. Them doctors all said it's impossible. Well, let me tell you, it might have been impossible, but with God, that's what I say, Miss Jackie, with God. She sure does run around here a lot, didn't she? Yeah, Miss Jackie sees her all the time. Yeah, yeah. Just think, if we can believe, what's impossible with us? I want you to burn that into your circuits this week. And I want you, if every time you think about grumbling and complaining, I want you to see them two kids. Cheryl, I mean, she just, oh my goodness. I mean, I don't even know how to explain what came over her when she saw those two poor children. It's awful. Yeah, it made her super sad. Makes us all sad. But we know the one that can fix those kids. And he's right here in this room today. All we got to do is touch his heart some way. The sin. What do you think was the sin when we started checking this little family out, that little girl and boy? What do you think the sin was that put those two children in that condition? Yeah. Adultery. In both cases, the father was out having sex with another woman while his wife's carrying those kids. Both of them. The girl and the boy. But yet the daddy's out having sex with somebody else that he's not married to. And so he brought two children into the world that are cursed. That's so sad. So sad that those children had to be cursed because of their dads. But God can forgive those sins. If we remit his sins enough, someday we're probably going to get them all taken care of. And when we do, then we can touch those children and God will heal those children. But as long as that sin remains, the curse remains. I want you to have a blessed week this week, and I want you to think about Jubilee. I want you to go out of here thinking about the Lord. In fact, have the Lord, ask the Lord. That'd be the safest thing to do. Lord, this is a year of Jubilee, And I'm going to ask you, what kind of a gift do you want me to give and where do you want me to give it? And you let him tell you. You don't do anything on your own. If he don't tell you to do nothing, then don't do nothing. But if he tells you to give $50,000 to the church up the road, give it for whatever he tells you to do, you do it. I don't care how big the numbers are or whatever it is. This is the year of Jubilee, and don't ever forget that. If God tells you to give a $50,000 deal to somebody, don't even hesitate, because guess what he's got for you? You are not going to, you're absolutely going to be blessed beyond blessed.
Is that the same thing as a fleece?
As a what? Oh, no. No, the fleece, that's something we don't do as Christians. We walk being led by the Spirit. We do not ask for a fleece. No, a fleece is something totally different. On Jubilee, you just give to God whatever you want to give or whatever he lays on your heart to give to wherever you want to give it. And that's not a fleece. That's just being obedient to the year of Jubilee. And we're not under that law. We don't have to do this. It's not required for the church, but it still works for the church. If the church wants to give, just like Luke 6:38, we can all give. We don't have to give. But if you want to be blessed, you have to give. So if you want God to bless you, I mean, I can tell you out of my own life, you know, until I started tithing, I couldn't make it. I couldn't make it in payday to payday. But when I started tithing, I've never had a need. From the day I started tithing, years ago, I have never, ever, ever been short of money. Amen. I've had enough money to pay all my bills. I've never been without. I've never. I mean, I don't know. When people call me and tell me that I've got to have $100 for this or $200 for this, I'm not going to make my house payment unless I got $300, whatever, and I'm not going to make it. And I say, well, where are you going to church? Well, I can't go very often, just once in a while. I said, well, you're not tithing. Oh, yeah, I tithe. When I go, I said, no, that's not tithing. That's giving. That ain't tithing. I said, tithing is giving of every penny you make. You give 10% at least of every penny you make. You know, that's tithing. You can't give a little here and a little there. That's not being obedient to the Word of God. And that's why you're not blessed. You know, I mean, if you want to be blessed, you got to do it God's way. If you do it God's way, I guarantee He'll bless you. He has us. You know, just like I told you a while ago. When this is the only time that I can think of that Cheryl and I have had a disagreement on money, because usually she's just the opposite. Whenever I say, okay, yeah, I think we ought to give this people $50, she says, I was thinking more like $100. She's always on the heavy side.
I'm a big giver.
I know you are, honey.
She's a cheerful giver.
Yeah, she's a cheerful giver.
That's right.
So. Most of the time, not every time, but most of the time, if I say, well, I think they needed some money, so I'm going to give them $50, she said, no, you need to give them $100. Most of the time, I go back and do what she says. Very rarely do I not come up to what she wants, unless she's just so far off the page. But usually she's not. When it comes to women, Cheryl has such compassion for women. Go to a restaurant and eat a $5 hamburger. Get ready to leave, and we're in the middle of nowhere over there north of Denton, and was over there at dinner. And this little girl come up, and she's waiting on us, and Cheryl's talking to her. And her husband left her, and she's trying to raise her kids by herself and everything else. And Cheryl says, honey, will you let me give the tip? I said, okay. So whenever we turned to walk up, I looked back at the table and did a $100 bill. We had a $5 sandwich and paid a $100 tip. Do you think this girl ain't got a compassionate heart? But do you think God blesses us for that?
Yes.
Of course He does. You know, He blesses us. And I'm not telling you to be bragging. That's not what I'm telling you at all. I'm just telling you because you need to know how it works. If you want to be blessed, the Scripture says you have to give to be blessed. And if you don't give, you won't be blessed. So, but this time of season that we're in, it's going to be the best season that you ever are going to have an opportunity to be blessed this week, because this is the last week of the seven feasts, and this is the week of tabernacles, the week of blessing. And wow. So anyway, it would be wonderful if some of y'all called me this week and say, Pastor, you ain't going to believe what I did. I gave this money and I got this much back. Wow, did it ever work for me? Well, when it does come back and he bless you, don't say I can't believe it. Is that right? Don't never say I can't believe this, because you know he... Wow. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for blessing us. I thank you with the word. I thank you, Lord, that you're the mighty King. And Lord, I thank you for sending that little lady with those two children here, that we get a look at that to see what it looks like. And then, Lord, begin now to work on our faith. And so help us and show us what we need to do so we can repent of all sin, break the curses over these child, so we can see that little boy and girl get up off of those beds, those wheelchairs, and run and play. Lord, I can see that in my spirit right now with my eyes closed. I can see those kids bending and getting up, and I can see you healing them and making them whole. Lord, with you, I know nothing is hard, nothing, nothing, nothing. And Lord, we want to give you praise and glory for healing these children. But Lord, for everybody here that has been healed, we thank you for healing every one of them. We thank you that there are not very many as bad as those two. But Lord, anytime you're sick and afflicted, it's not fun. We don't like sickness. We don't like pain. So we thank you for your mercy and your grace and for forgiving us and healing us and making us whole. Now, Lord, as we go this week, use all of us to do great and mighty things for your kingdom. Thank you for blessing us. We are so grateful to serve you, the mighty King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.